You know, we've been working with Teddy Spencer now for coming on 2 years, working with the long lost William Shakespeare's long lost first play, Abridged. And the poor guy, you've missed this rite of passage. You never got a podcast all to yourself. I apologize for that.
Oh, it's okay. You know, I did my best to avoid it, but it's finally come. I guess the time has finally come.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 550, Bay Area Actor. We talk of theater cities like New York, Chicago, Seattle, L.A., maybe in a pinch. And being from San Francisco originally myself, I rarely think of the San Francisco Bay Area as a place of opportunity for professional actors. Yet somehow Teddy Spencer, who originated the so-called green role or man-child role in our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged and has toured with us for over a couple of years now, has made the Bay Area his home base for his career as a professional actor. Since he has a handful of Bay Area gigs coming up, non-RSC Bay Area gigs, I wanted to talk to Teddy about how he manages to make the Bay Area his home and his work, and he started by telling me where he's originally from.
I'm from the East Bay, from Concord, okay. Originally. It's about a half hour outside the city. And I went to school, undergrad in Northern California, Chico State, and then I went to grad school in Texas at SMU.
SMU, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, but then after that, I spent a season at Milwaukee Rep doing their, it was called an internship at the time, but there's a fancier, more, you know, glamorous name for it now, but they're part of their acting apprentice program.
Yeah.
And then made my way back to the Bay.
Well, and even though you're based in the Bay Area and you work a lot, I mean, not only are you working with us, but you're working with Bay Area theaters that we'll get to, but you are a kind of a classic itinerant actor. I mean, you've told us stories of driving all over the country to go to an audition here at Utah Shakes or in Milwaukee Rep or Denver Theater Center or wherever. How are you able to do that?
Well,
you kids today, yeah. And your energy.
Yeah. It's always been, you know, if when I was in Milwaukee or on my way to Milwaukee from Texas, you know, pick out theaters along the way ahead of time, contact, schedule, make my trip more worthwhile,
sure.
And more tax deductible. Yeah, absolutely. So just, you know, working that email game ahead of time and setting up as many auditions as I can.
And theaters are open to this? Are they eager to see another actor who's driving through?
Yeah, for the most part. Especially California's a little bit different. The Bay Area was really nice. When I was first coming back to California, I contacted theaters in the Bay Area and in Southern California. Southern California, totally different story. I never heard back from anyone, you know, but there are so many actors down there that makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, Oregon, Washington, I stopped in Montana, at the Guthrie in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all over.
And have any of these pit stops at any auditions, have any of these led to work?
Some of the ones in the Bay Area, the other ones I've kept in contact with them, and at times I haven't landed anything yet, but I don't think they were wasted at all. You know, I always think about it like a Johnny Appleseed, where I'm planting these seeds as I go, and hopefully, you know, 5 years down the road, a tree will grow, something will happen.
I think that's true, and you're cultivating relationships, and this is a business. I mean, I suppose every business is a business of relationships, but the theater is very much so. And you know, it's funny because we'll be talking about different actors or different directors around the country, and you go, "Oh yeah, I worked with him," or "I know a person who worked with him," or yeah. I mean, the network. they told Reed and I this when we were at Cal, there's only five people in the theater business, and everybody knows everybody else, and you're really helping to get yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very small world, and you know, the more you put yourself out there for exposure, the more people are going to get to know you, and you're going to get to know people, and I think that's, you know, 90% of the game. Yeah.
How did you get your equity card? When did you become a, quote, professional actor?
Well, I accrued a lot of weeks when I was in Milwaukee through the internship program. But I didn't want to be equity coming back. I knew I wanted to come back to the Bay Area, I knew I didn't want to go to New York or L.A. Or Chicago right away.
Now, but it's kind of right there. That's an interesting choice because it seems like there's more professional opportunities in New York and L.A. and Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, L.A., I wasn't sure I wanted to do television or film yet. New York just never had an appeal for me. Chicago was interesting, but I saw it as a place from people I knew who it was a place where you could work if you, you know, you could be doing shows at night, but also be holding down a job as a barista during the day. And it was a hard place to really actually make a living. Now, the quality of the work and kind of the artistic integrity there is fantastic. And I love the community there. But I have so many friends and family and things in the Bay Area. And as a market, it's one of the biggest secondary markets to those three major markets. So I thought correctly that the opportunities were there for work and I would get to be close to family and friends, which is kind of a you can't really put a price tag on that. Yeah.
And so you accrued a bunch of points at Milwaukee Rep, and then did you get an equity job and that allowed you to join?
Yeah, I did one non-ex show coming to the Bay Area, but I wanted to audition. I was worried about showing up as just this equity actor and people being like, who is this guy? I wanted to kind of develop and cultivate some relationships first. So I did one non-ex show and then no, actually two. I did two non-X shows. My last one that put me over the edge was 4,000 Miles at Capitol Stage in Sacramento. And then I did a summer at Marin Shakes, and that was my first equity gig.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And you've, I mean, every time I talk to you, you've just auditioned for something. Mm-hmm. You're waiting to hear for something. You've done very well for yourself taking only professional gigs. I mean, have you been tempted to, oh, there's a non-equity gig over here, but that's a great role, or is there just no value in that?
I've been lucky enough to kind of develop relationships with theaters of different size and scale. Yeah. So there's a company that I've become an associate artist with called the Arabian Shakespeare Festival that performs in about a 50-seat house in the city.
Right.
And the kind of contract that is, it's basically, you know, a stipend contract, but you're able to do it if you're equity. But I've been able to work on some really fantastic roles, chew on some really great material. I did Iago and Othello for them, and I played Mackers for them. But then, yeah, I've been really lucky with cultivating relationships in the Bay Area, and everyone's really kind in the Bay Area, and very supportive. Yeah. And my wife and I, who's also an actor, we both got involved with a company called Playground pretty much as soon as we moved back to the Bay Area, which is a monthly show where there's a group of about 50 playwrights that get a week to write a 10-minute piece on this topic. And then once their five days is up, they submit the top six scripts are chosen. And then there's a group of actors, a casting pool that the casting director casts these pieces out of. We would get emailed our scripts on a Sunday normally, and we would go into Berkeley Rep on a Monday at 5 p.m., rehearse for an hour, tech it for 45 minutes, and then do the show. And that was a great way to get to know so many great actors and so many great directors and emerging playwrights and just like this incredible networking opportunity that I think was invaluable for us to get involved with really quickly.
Well, and I think the additional value to that is that you get all these directors from around everywhere who see you as a guy, oh my God, we can work with this actor on new material. He's not precious about it. They get to see what kind of actor you are. I mean, you know, we first worked together on this workshop of Long Lost because Jennifer King, I think, recommended you and brought you in and I've told this story before. Anybody who's seen Long Lost Shakes knows that one of the conclusions, there are three or four or five of them, but one of them is a lengthy emotional monologue by Ariel, which is absolutely not jokey at all. And you nailed it from the beginning because you absolutely did not play it as a joke. And that's always what we're looking for. And I suspect you probably alienated some directors who go, oh, he doesn't play it as a joke, he plays it real. I can't work with that.
That's funny you mention that because I feel like often, to me, that seems like what I'm coming up against in the audition room. Like, and when I end up seeing productions, it's I'll see the people that did get whatever it was I was auditioning for, and I kind of feel like it's people playing at it as opposed to just really doing it. I think that can – I think directors sometimes in an audition room want to see you – almost want to see you play at it to know that you're making the choice as opposed to just like that's what's coming out of you.
Right.
You know, maybe
right.
is what it is. I don't know.
To see more of a performance in the audition.
Yeah, absolutely. So well, I'm still learning to balance that out. Yeah.
And I think you told me that you went into an audition and the guys knew you had performed, the directors knew that you had performed with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and then they were surprised at how honest and genuine your delivery was. They were expecting, I don't know why, because we're jerks, you know, that your performance would be bigger, faker, more funny, comic?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the same type of thing where, like, when I was auditioning for grad schools, I had done musical theater in undergrad.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like when I was in the audition room for grad programs, that was a way for a fair amount of them to kind of just discredit me from the beginning.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, oh, you're that type of act. No, I did that because I didn't really have any special affinity for musicals. I just saw, oh, you have to take dance classes and more vocal training. Like, why wouldn't I do that for the same amount of money?
And there's a lot of girls.
Yeah, and, you know, that doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Will Durst here, author of The All-American Sport of Bipartisan Bashing, former radio show host, former margarine smuggler from Wisconsin, and you know what you're listening to. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare podcast, and you are a lucky one to do it.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In August, you'll be able to see James Percy, Matt Pearson, and Joe Maudsley performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Gilded Balloon in Edinburgh. And this fall, starting in September, you can see us perform all the great books Abridged, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged, and the ultimate Christmas show Abridged across the U.S. in Culver and South Bend, Indiana, West Long Branch, New Jersey, Aiken, South Carolina, Davis, California, Laramie, Wyoming, Asheville, North Carolina, Maryville, Tennessee, Somerville, New Jersey, Algona, Iowa, and Reston, Virginia. And also this September, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised in Hong Kong and Singapore. Tickets are on sale now. Next winter, in 2018, we'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged off-Broadway at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And a year from now, we'll return to the Pittsburgh Public Theater to close out their season with our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. So, as a professional actor, you must have to have another job, am I right?
I teach. Okay. There's a couple great in-school theater programs run through major theaters in the Bay Area. I work with Cal Shakes and do programs with them, and I direct for them for some of their summer camps. And then I also teach primarily with Berkeley Rep in school programs, mostly grade school, K through fifth, for the most part, some middle and high school. But in the school, but it's great. It's really flexible for my schedule, so if I have to go out on camera auditions, I can make that work. And it's been a blessing, and it makes it so I can go out and do these tours and do these gigs.
I was going to say, so they're cool with you going out with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where maybe a month in advance, I'll get an email. Hey, are these dates available for you? Some of them are. But these two don't work, and it's really flexible, which is fantastic.
Well, I would hope that people in our biz are very flexible. You know, because we have to be. I mean, it's such a transient business. We just don't know when and where the gigs are going to happen. I mean, Reed and I have had gigs that have just fallen through. Like in 2015, we just had like a series of long-running gigs just fall through because the economy was so terrible.
Yeah. So you got to have that flexibility, and you have to kind of just be ready to piecemeal together whatever you can. So,
do you find that the teaching helps your acting at all?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure that, you know, it's always great to teach a class and then have an audition later on in the day after I've taught, because I've definitely, or if I've taught a couple classes, I've led like a fair amount of warm-ups that day. So I have that going for me, you know, I'm good to go. But I'm sure, you know, being around kids, they're so honest, they're so open, their filters are very few and far between, so that has to help me, you know, absolutely.
I guess there's not really a way to make a living as an actor unless you've got a long, steady, long-running gig. Well, like in the Bay Area, there just aren't enough long-running, well-paying gigs to make you able to be just a completely working actor and nothing else.
Well, yeah, I think the people that do, that the few that are only, I there's got to be very few, because I think they still would find time to teach.
Sure.
They, you know, and what's really going to help is if you book like a really great, you know, some great voiceover gigs or like a great commercial gig, or that'll help line the coffers for a while. And that's the one thing about the Bay Area, though, being a secondary market, the ceiling is pretty low. I mean, if you're working at the best house, if you're working at ACT 40 weeks a year, you know, you're still getting, what, 50 grand for the year or something.
Sure.
So so you have to be ready to, and you're living in one of the most expensive areas in the world.
I was just going to say, I mean, you're in the East Bay, which is not quite as expensive, but it's still pretty pricey.
It's still pricey. So, yeah, the fact that we have a roommate helps in those types of things. So, yeah.
Wait, the dog is paying rent?
You know, he pays rent in love.
Bless. And you're about to. So we're just finishing up. We have just finished up our spring 2017 U.S. tour of Long Lost Shakes. But you're going like in a couple days. You go right into rehearsals for Much Ado About Nothing, right?
Yeah, we fly back tomorrow, Monday, and I start rehearsals for Much Ado on Tuesday.
And you're playing?
I'm playing Don Pedro. Yep.
Nice.
Don Pedro.
A much more sizable and fundamental and pivotal role than I remember.
Yeah, don't sleep on Pedro. You know, he's there a lot. People kind of overlook him. Absolutely. He's like, I find the same thing for, say, like Laertes in Hamlet, where it's like an easy part to like, we'll find someone to do that. But it's like a very important, pivotal, you know, part to the show. So hopefully I can do something with it and make it interesting. So we'll see.
That's true. And like Horatio, too. You know? Just get any chimp to play Horatio, and your actor playing Hamlet is going, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold up both ends of these scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be nice. This will be my my first season at Marin Shakes. I did As You Like It. I played Orlando, and I played Tybalt in R&J, and that was my first Equity season. So this will be nice to go back and do another season with them.
Cool. Is it just Don Pedro?
Yeah, I'm just doing Much Ado. Doing Much Ado, and then I got The Liar coming up after that at Center Rep in Walnut Creek, which will be fun. And then we'll see after that. I got some potentially exciting things for the winter season, so we'll see.
Fingers crossed. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Teddy opens this week in Much Ado About Nothing at Marin Shakespeare Company in San Rafael, and this fall can be seen in The Liar at our old stomping ground Center Rep in Walnut Creek. And between those gigs, Teddy will make his debut later this summer at American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, understudying both Horatio and Guildenstern in ACT's production of Hamlet. Send us your favorite theater town via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner, and the RSC is now on Instagram too @ReducedShakespeareCompany. Thanks as always to Chicago area office manager Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Jill Carlton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to our old friend comedian Will Durst, whose wife Debbie Durst is playing Verges in Teddy's production of Much Ado at Marin Shakes. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1650ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And in the spirit of Teddy's production, I'll leave you with Sigh Not So, as performed by the 1950s garage band The Revelers in my production of Much Ado About Nothing, performed earlier this year at Pacific University in Oregon. Music by Andrew Klein.
Hey everybody, we're The Revelers!
Woo!
Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot on sea and one on shore, to one thing constant ever. So sang out so, but let them go, and be you blind and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hay, nanny nanny. Dump so much.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.